Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 8 to 21. And I believe that's page 767. If you're using the Blue Pew Bible, you may want to follow along on your own Bible, or if you have the Bible on your phone or on a tablet or whatever. I do think you'll find it helpful to have a Bible open in front of you, whether it's on your phone or what have you. As we're going to go through God's Word together, sort of verse by verse, it does help to have you have it open in front of you. What we're doing is we've been working our way together through the book of Isaiah under the heading the Gospel, or the Good News of Jesus Christ according to Isaiah. And this morning we want to consider together how the Lord will make a way. And now again, our text this morning is from the book of Isaiah, and we're simply picking up where we left off last time in chapter 43 with verse 8. Let's hear God's word. Bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you. And you are my witnesses, declared the Lord, and I am God. Also henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans and the ships in which they rejoice. I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beast will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Thus far, the reading of the Word of God, may the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do need direction. We need advice. We need counsel. We need instruction. We need encouragement. And we need blessing. Lord, help us to understand your word, to believe it, to apply it, and to be blessed. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You ever feel stuck? Maybe you got a bad habit, like you bite your fingernails, or you tend to waste money. You spend money on things you don't really need, or you're too sensitive. You get your feelings hurt too easily, or you overreact and you blow things out of proportion, or maybe you're short tempered, or you're easily irritated. We all have things about ourselves that we need to change. Maybe you tend to keep people at a distance because you're afraid of getting hurt, or maybe. Maybe you tend to hurt the people who are closest to you. You're really good with strangers and everything, but when you come home, you let off steam and you end up hurting and taking out your frustrations to the people you care about the most. We all have things about ourselves that we know ought to be different. You look at yourself, this isn't the person I want to be. This isn't the person God wants to be. We all know we need to grow. We all have areas of our life where we need to change. And maybe you've made some efforts and maybe you've even made some progress. Maybe you drink too much, or maybe Maybe you haven't been reading the Bible, or whatever. We all have those areas, and maybe you've tried and you made a little bit of progress, and then you kind of bottomed out, and you kind of plateaued. You're stuck. You know, we all have things about ourselves. Call it a personality trait. Call it a character flaw. We all have things about ourselves that we know we need to change, and sometimes we just don't seem to make much progress, and we feel kind of stuck. Or maybe. Maybe it's not really something about you, but maybe it's a relationship. You know, maybe it's not you, but it's you and your spouse. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe your marriage just isn't what it ought to be. You've kind of lost that spark. You've lost that zing. And maybe you've tried. You've read an article on marriage. You've even been to a conference, and it just you're not getting anywhere. Or maybe it's your relationship with your kids, and you've tried to sit down with them and listen to them and talk to them. And maybe it's your relationship with your brothers and sisters, your siblings, and you quarrel all the time, and you know it shouldn't be that way. You know that's not what God wants, and you try to hold your tongue, but then your brother says something, or your sister needles you, and before you know it, you're arguing again. Whether it's something about you personally, or it's a relationship in your life, or maybe it's a situation. You know, maybe you need a new roof on your house, and you the guy won't ever call you back, or maybe it's a situation going on at work, and they're downsizing, or maybe you're behind in school and you can't seem to get caught up, or maybe it's a financial mess. Whether it's something about you personally, or a relationship, or just a situation you're in, all of us sometimes are going to feel stuck. We're not where we want to be. We're not where we ought to be, and yet we don't seem to be able to get from A to B. We just can't seem to move forward. We feel kind of stuck. Well, I want you to understand this morning that when you are stuck, the Lord is the only Savior, and He will make a way. Okay. Now, just a reminder, if you want to look in the back of your bulletin, that there is a sermon outline in the back of your bulletin. It's fairly simple this morning, okay? Sometimes it's a little more tricky, a little more challenging. This morning is fairly simple. That's okay. It's not meant to be a brain teaser or a puzzle or a challenge. I know some of you like to fill it out before I even start the message. You know, it's not meant to be a teaser or a it's just meant to help you follow along with the message, help you see where we're going, help you pay attention and stay focused. So if you want, you may want to have that open in front of you. We're going to be looking at our passage this morning, beginning with chapter 43, verse 8. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "Bring out the people who are blind, yet have eyes." So imagine people who are blind. They can't see, and yet it's not because they don't have eyes. They have eyes, and yet they can't see. It's like they can see, but they can't see. Well, we talked about this last week. That in one sense, you can see God's blessing in your life. Just look around. Your homes, your family, your job, your health. I mean, if you just look around, you see God's blessings, and yet we don't see it. We see it, and yet we don't see it. We don't really appreciate it. We don't take it to heart. We don't really take it in. It's like what the Bible calls being spiritually blind. You have eyes, but you don't really see it. Every week, we hear the message of the Bible. We hear that God loves you. We hear that God has given His Son Jesus Christ for you. That Jesus laid down His life for you to make atonement for you, to pay for your sins. That God loves you so much that He's given His Son Jesus to buy you back, that you might be forgiven and accepted by God. We hear it, and yet we don't hear it. We hear that God loves us and He's going to be with us and take care of us, and we hear it and yet we don't hear it. It's like we're spiritually blind and we're spiritually deaf. It's a universal condition. All of us by nature are spiritually deaf and blind. Here, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and He says, "Bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble." Okay, again, if you want to have your bulletin in front of you, we're looking at the back is where your outline is. But on the inside of the bulletin, we have a map that we find very helpful in this section of Isaiah. If you want to look at the map, you're going to see that the city of Jerusalem is there in Judah. It's near the Mediterranean. But then you see this whole shaded area represents the Assyrian Empire. And so you're going to see the Assyrian Empire, and then part of that shaded area to the right, you see Babylon and Babylonia. These are the nations of the world that God is talking about. So God is speaking to the world that is spiritually blind and spiritually deaf, that doesn't seem to see God's goodness in the world. We see all God's blessings, and yet we don't see it. We hear God's word, but we don't take it to heart. God is speaking to all the nations of the world, and he says, gather together, all the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? All right, now, former things would be things that have happened in the past. And what he's saying is, everybody come forward and bring out your idol. I remember a few weeks ago we saw that Isaiah was describing an invasion from the north. And we saw that he was being deliberately vague, so maybe he was describing the Assyrian invasion, or maybe he was looking ahead as a prophet to the Babylonian invasion, or maybe even looking ahead beyond that to the Persians. But he was describing an invasion, and he described how the people would respond by running and making idols. This is what's going to save them. This is what's going to keep them safe. I'm going to make this little idol, and I'm going to call upon my pagan god. And so we saw a few weeks ago, God said, bring your little idol and get your idol to explain life. Explain, how did we end up here? What is it all about? Or get your idol to predict the future. Get your idol to do something, good or bad, so we have some reason to believe in it. That's the same idea this morning. Isaiah is calling all the nations of the world together, and he says, show us the former things. Explain the past. How did we get where we are today? Explain life to us. Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say it is true. In other words, who can come forward and testify and say, this idol told me all these things were going to happen before they happened? And then God says in verse 10, you are my witnesses. At this point, he's no longer talking to the Assyrians and the Babylonians and even the Persians. Now he's talking to his own people. He's talking to the people of Jerusalem. And he says, you are my witnesses. Well, now a witness is somebody who's seen something or you've heard something. You know, you're asked to testify in court because you say, well, I heard a gunshot at 8 o'clock. Or I saw this man in a restaurant at 8, so he couldn't have been the man who shot the gun. A witness is someone who saw something or he heard something. Well, we've just seen that we're all naturally spiritually deaf and spiritually blind, and yet God has opened your eyes and he's opened your ears to make you his witnesses. God opens your eyes so that you begin to see the wonderful things that God is doing. You begin to realize this is the Lord. You begin to hear God's word and you begin to understand it. Just like when Jesus walked on earth and he healed those who were literally deaf and literally blind, so now today God opens the eyes of those who are spiritually blind and those who are spiritually deaf. He's chosen to open our eyes and ears so that we can be his witnesses. When the people brought out their idols, there were no witnesses. No one could come forward and say, yeah, this idol really helped me. But God has opened our eyes and our ears to make us witnesses so we can say, you know what? This is what God has done for me. This is how I've seen God working in my life. This is how God has answered my prayers. This is what I've been learning in the Bible about the Lord. God opens your eyes and he opens your ears. What the Apostle Paul calls the eyes of your heart. And the ears of your heart, so that you can be a witness. You can tell others, this is what I've seen God do in my life. This is what I've heard and I've learned about how much God loves us. God opens your eyes and ears so that you can be his witnesses in the world. He says to his people, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Okay? Mankind is naturally blind and deaf, but God opens up the eyes and ears so that we can know him personally, so that you can have a personal relationship with God, so you're not deaf or blind any longer, but that you can know God personally. God has chosen to open our eyes and our ears so that we can know him. He says, before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. In the picture here, it's like a courtroom, and God has brought forward his witnesses. We're those witnesses who can testify the Lord is real. And now God is saying, not only am I real, those idols are not. He says, I'm the only God. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. What he means here this morning is that whatever situation you're facing, maybe it is something personal about yourself, some bad habit that you just can't seem to lick. Maybe it's a relationship you're struggling with. Maybe it's a financial situation or a health situation. Whatever situation you're facing, there is no deliverance apart from the Lord. Okay? The people were fleeing to their idols because they saw this invasion. God says, listen, there is no deliverance apart from the Lord. You are completely dependent on God. Verse 12, I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you. And you're my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I'm God. He's saying, you know it. God is the one who's brought you this far. The only way you've gotten where you are is because God's been so good, and you know it. You've seen it. You've heard it. And that's not going to change. Henceforth, I am he. There's none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? You know, even as Christians, sometimes we fall into relying on ourselves. And if I just try hard enough, I depend upon my own wits and my experience and my knowledge. God says, now you know. You know I'm the one who's brought you where you are in life. I'm the only one who's gotten you this far, and I'm the one who's going to take you the rest of the way. And you know it, God says. I'm the only Lord, and that's the way it's always going to be. You are completely dependent on God, and without him, you'll never make it where you need to be. Again, if you want to look at our map, Isaiah has prophesied previously. He's announced that the Babylonians, okay, if you look at to the right of the shaded area, you see Babylonia. In days to come, the Babylonian Empire would rise. They would conquer the Assyrians. So this whole shaded area labeled the Assyrian Empire would become the Babylonian Empire. And the Babylonians would conquer Jerusalem, burn it to the ground, and carry all the people off all the way to Babylon as prisoners, as exiles, and slaves. How are the people going to get out? How are they going to get home? They are trapped. They're far from home. They're far from where they want to be. They're far from where they need to be. They're far from where they're supposed to be. They're far from the temple. They're far from God. How are they going to get from where they are to where they need to be? Now, they are completely dependent upon the Lord. Without God, they're never going to make it where they need to be. First of all, they were political prisoners. Their only way they could escape Babylon would be for Persia to conquer them. Okay, if you're looking at your map, you see to the far right, you see Persia. And God said, even generations after that, Cyrus, king of Persia, would rise up. The Persians would conquer the Babylonians. And now, finally, God's people would be declared free. They'd have political freedom. So now they're going to be able to come home. But they were completely dependent on God to give them political freedom. But even once they're politically free, they're still 500, 600, 800, maybe even 900 miles from home, depending on what route they take. How on earth are they going to get from Babylon to Jerusalem? That's a long way. And if you look, you see the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. These were massive rivers. There were not bridges over these rivers. How are they going to cross these rivers with their children, with their families, with their elderly parents? This is like a four-month journey. How are they possibly going to make it? They couldn't possibly make that journey without the Lord's help. And why would the Lord help them? The whole reason they were in the Babylon in the first place is because they've turned their backs on God and they've worshipped idols. They deserve to be in Babylon. They deserve to be stuck. What makes them think that God is going to help them and give them deliverance and bring them back to where they need to be? Well, this is what God says in verse 14. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer. Okay? We talked about this last week, that God said, I will give Egypt, I will give whole nations to pay ransom for you, to redeem you. I'll give nations in exchange for you. In other words, God says, I will do whatever it takes to save you. Yes, you deserve to be in Babylon. You deserve a worse situation than you're in. But God says, I'm going to give my son Jesus as a ransom, as a redemption, to pay for your sin. I'm going to give Jesus in exchange for you so that your sin is paid for, so you can be forgiven. And I'm going to bring you back where you need to be. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake, I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in the ships in which they rejoice. Well, Chaldean is just an old word for Babylonian. So if you look at those rivers on your map, the Tigris, the Euphrates, you imagine the Babylonians in their big ships, they're going up and down, trading, making all kind of money. God says, for the sake of my people, I'm going to bring in the Persians. And all the Babylonians are going to try to flee as fugitives on their ships. And it won't be of any help to them. And I'm going to allow the Persians to conquer the Babylonians just so my people can come back, because I'm your Redeemer. And I'm going to bring you from where you are to where you need to be. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Without God, you'll never make it where you need to be. The purpose of life, okay, the purpose of life's journey is to become that person that God has always intended you to be. Okay? You're on a journey. Nobody ever stands still. You're on a journey, and the purpose of your journey is not just to make a little more money and to move up the scale financially and get a little bigger house and check off the boxes and get married and have kids. The purpose of your journey, your life journey, is to become more and more that person God has always intended you to be. The purpose was not just to get people from Babylon to Jerusalem. The whole reason they were in Babylon is because God sent them there. The whole reason they were in Babylon is because when they were in Jerusalem, they turned their backs on God and worshiped idols. And so God sent them to Babylon and then was going to bring them back so that by the time they came back, they had learned to trust the Lord. They had learned to delight in God and know God and love God. The purpose of that journey was for them to come the people they were always meant to be. Okay? Sometimes in life you feel stuck, or you feel like you're taking a very bad detour. These people were in Jerusalem. They went all the way to Babylon just to get back to Jerusalem. That sounds like a terrible detour. But the purpose wasn't just to move them geographically. It was to get them to become the people that God wanted them to be. The purpose of your journey in life is for you to become more like Jesus Christ, more joyful, more godly, more happy, more holy, more gracious, more generous, more confident, more bold, more free, more delighting in God. God's purpose is for you to become that person you were always meant to be. That's the journey you're on. And without the Lord, you're never going to make it. You might make some more money. You might accomplish some things in life. You might meet the right person. But you're never going to become the kind of person God wants you to be without consciously relying upon the Lord. Deliberate reliance upon God is the only way you're going to get from A to B, from where you are to where you need to be. The Lord is the only Savior, and He will make a way. Okay? Look with me at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea. Now, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt. And God leads them right up to the Red Sea. And they're hemmed in. The Egyptian army's right behind them. They're cornered. There's nowhere they can go. And when you come to a forest, you can often look and you can see a path. You can see a trail. Or if you go to a park, you can even see a paved path or a road. But when you stand at the edge of a sea, there's no paths. There's no way to go forward. There is no way. But God made a path in the sea. They were stuck, and God parted the Red Sea so that the people could go through. And then when the Egyptian army tried to follow, God closed up the sea and used the sea to get rid of the Egyptian army in pursuit. Okay? When you are stuck, whether it's a personal issue or a relationship issue or a financial mess or some other situation, When you think there's no way to move forward, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the hat. God will make a way. This is what he says. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They're extinguished. They're quenched like a wick. Isaiah is reminding the people what God did at the Red Sea. We're supposed to remember the things that God has done and learn from them. I mean, isn't that why God has opened up your eyes and he opens up your ears? So that you can understand, this is what God does. And you can learn from it so that next time you're stuck, you say, wait a minute, I'm not the first person to ever get stuck. God's people have been stuck before. And what happens? God always makes a way. We're supposed to remember the things that God has done in the past so we can learn from them. Well, here, Isaiah reminds them what God did in the past at the Red Sea. But then, verse 18, he says, remember not the former things. Well, he's just reminded us of what God did in the past, and then he says, don't remember it. Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't even think about the past. Why would Isaiah say that? We're supposed to remember the things God has done and learn from them. So why would God say, don't even think about the past? Well, imagine you're in Babylon. Okay? You're stuck. Isaiah has just reminded us of how God brought the people through the Red Sea and brought them into the Promised Land and how wonderful things were. Now imagine you're in Jerusalem or you're in Babylon and you're thinking, we're a long way from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's not like that anymore. Jerusalem's been burned down. It's not like the good old days. Sometimes we get stuck because we're thinking about the good old days. And we're always looking back in the past and wishing things, oh, they're not like they were when I was a kid, back in my day. You know what? You're on a journey. You're on a journey, and you can't move forward if you're always looking backwards. Yeah, things change. That's life. You got to keep your eyes moving ahead because you're on a journey. God is taking you somewhere. Don't dwell on the past, and don't dwell on the old you. Can't you imagine the people in Babylon thinking, what's the point? You know why we're in here in Babylon? It's our own fault because we never trust the Lord and we always mess things up and that's never going to change. So what good is it? And you can just imagine, sometimes we sabotage ourselves. Well, I've tried in the past. I've tried to fix my marriage. It won't make any difference. I've tried to overcome. I've tried to grow. I've tried to stop looking at pornography. It never makes any difference. And you're just spinning your wheels. God says, listen, you need to put the past behind you. Okay? Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I press on for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the old you. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you should anticipate progress. Because God is the God who makes a way. You should anticipate change. You should anticipate forward movement. It may be slow. It may seem gradual. It may not happen on your schedule, but you need to anticipate God is going to make a way, and you don't get lost in dwelling on the past and your old mistakes and your old failures. This is what God says. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Yeah, you were in Babylon and you deserved it. But God says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to give my son as your savior. As your redeemer. I'm going to remove that sin and that guilt, and I'm going to do something completely different, and I'm going to bring you out of there. Don't dwell on the past and the old you. Trust in Jesus Christ and accept the forgiveness that God offers. You know, in sports, for example, sometimes you make a mistake. And so there's a saying, like in football, play the next play. Play the next play. Because what happens a lot of times in football is you make a mistake, and so you stop, and you think about it, and you're beating yourself up, and you know what? While you're doing that, the game keeps going. And now one mistake becomes two mistakes, and it becomes three mistakes, because the game keeps going while you're thinking about your past mistakes. And so in football, they say, play the next play. Move on. Don't let one mistake become 12 mistakes. Play the next play. Move on. It's the same thing in the Christian life. A righteous man, he falls 7 times. He rises again. You're not going to move forward if you're always looking back. You've got to have your eyes on Jesus Christ, and you've got to move ahead. Sometimes people say, We've got to learn to forgive ourselves. Maybe. I really don't even know. I guess if you forgive, if you sin against yourself, I suppose you should forgive yourself. But have we? That just sounds like it's too much concern about me. Our real problem is that we've sinned against the Lord. And God offers you forgiveness. God has given his son Jesus. And we need to stop focusing on ourselves. You remember the old cartoons? You'd see witches stirring their kettle. I'm down in Babylon. This is terrible. It's all my fault. That's not going to get you anywhere. God offers you forgiveness. He offers you redemption. He offers you grace. You just need to take him at his word. We need to take our eyes off ourselves. Paul says, forget what lies behind and press on for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, my Lord. You need to trust in Jesus. You need to accept his forgiveness, and you need to move forward. You need to move ahead because God is growing you. It's like Martin Luther famously said, we're not who we ought to be, but we're not who we used to be either. God is growing you, and you're growing, and you're changing, and you're becoming more and more the person you were always meant to be. The Lord will provide for you on your journey of becoming that person God intends you to be. Verse 19, he says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Well, here are these people in Babylon. How are they possibly going to make this four-month journey through the dry land? God says, well, I'll provide water. I'm going to get you from A to B. You feel stuck, but God says, I'm going to get you there. I'm going to make you that person you were always meant to be. He says, I'll give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Mankind, by nature, we're spiritually blind, we're spiritually deaf, but God said, I formed my people for this purpose so there'll be people who know me and love me and delight in me and praise me. And God says, that's why I sent you to Babylon, and that's why I'm bringing you back, so that you're going to end up a happy, joyful, thankful, praising person. That's what God's doing in your life. That's where your journey is headed. You feel like, I'm not going anywhere. Oh, you are. You're growing, and you're going to become a more joyful, praising, thankful person. And God is going to do whatever it takes. Okay? He's going to provide you all along life journey of becoming that person that God intends you to be. Maybe you feel stuck this morning. I often feel stuck. We all feel stuck. But the Lord is the Savior, the only Savior. And he will make a way. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you specialize in getting people from A to B. You specialize in making a way when we can't see a way, when we can't figure out a way. You specialize in making things happen when we're stuck. You are the shepherd who knows how to lead your people. You're the teacher who knows how to teach us. You know how to instruct us. You know how to grow us. You know how to change us. Lord, we need you. We are completely dependent on you. Help us to trust you. Help us to put our eyes on you. Lord, help us to keep moving forward and anticipating that progress and that change, knowing that you'll make a way. You will make a way. We ask this, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.